progress.
This evening we are looking at session number 11, and we are going to study about King Jehoshaphat. Now, he was the fourth king of Judah. The last couple of weeks we have been doing kings of Israel. Now we get back to kings of Judah. Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judah. He was the son and successor to King Asa. Overall, he was a good king. He was a faithful worshipper of God. He furthered the religious reforms that his father had initiated. But sad to say, just as how Asa ended quite bad at the end, Jehoshaphat also, at the later portion of his life, he made an alliance with Ahab, king of Israel. Now we know about Ahab and Jezebel, why he had to do that to give his son in marriage. You know, that's something we may not fully understand, but that really messed up his life. But if we really look at Jehoshaphat's life, you know, his heart seems to be in the right place, because, you know, when the prophets came and told him, you have done some wrong, he repented and he got back, you know, which is good, comparison to Asa, who even put the guy behind bars. Okay. Now, just as information, Jehoshaphat, and there are other Jehoshaphats also in scripture. In fact, there are at least another five Jehoshaphats. You know, let me just briefly share them with you. The first one is David's bodyguard. You find this in 1 Chronicles 11:43. One of the priests who accompanied the removal of the ark to Jerusalem, he was named Jehoshaphat. We find this in 1 Chronicles 15:24. We also have the son of Ahilud, who was the recorder or analyst under David and Solomon. You have this in 2 Samuel 8:16. This was an officer of high rank. You also have Solomon's purveyor in Issachar in 1 Kings 4:17. And you have the son of Nimshi, the father of Jehu, king of Israel, who was also called Jehoshaphat. So if you notice, in the Old Testament, we have some pretty common names, and we should not get confused with who is who. But we are looking at King Jehoshaphat this evening. So some quick facts about Jehoshaphat. Initially, his father's name was King Asa. Asa was a good king, overall, but sometimes good fathers have bad sons, sometimes bad fathers have good sons. Sometimes, they reproduce or, they follow in the same footsteps of the fathers. So now we need to take a call to find out whether Jehoshaphat followed in the ways of his father. Now, if his father was a good guy, whether he was also good, whether his father was a so-so guy, whether he was also so-so. We need to take that call. But we must remember that there is there's a relationship in generations. If the fathers are bad, the chances are that the sons could also follow in their footsteps. But also, this is where the grace of God comes in. The fathers must maybe totally corrupt, but they produce some excellent sons. This is all God's grace. So on one side, don't blame. On the other hand, also be responsible for next generations. Secondly, his mother's name was Azuba. She was the daughter of Shilhi. Otherwise, she is unknown. Nothing much is mentioned about her. Predecessor was King Asa. He became the fourth king to rule over Judah, and he reigned for 25 years. 25 years. And during these 25 years, there was a lot of peace, there was a lot of favor of God, there was a lot of blessing from God as well. His successor was his son Jehoram of Judah, who was really a very bad king. Okay, the age when Jehoshaphat became king was 35 years, and he died at 60 years. And he reigned between 873 BC and 849 BC. Okay, that's just a quick fact. Morality-wise, 2 Chronicles 17:3, sums up his life, where it says the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals. There are very few people of whom it is said he followed the ways of his father David. Jehoshaphat is one of them. So overall, he seems to have been a good king. Now, the meaning of Jehoshaphat is Jehovah judged. This is similar to Daniel's name, which says, may God be my judge. So in other words, you know, both individuals were living conscious of the fact of who God is, their accountability to God, and the fact that God will one day definitely judge them. And how they responded to that knowledge, you know, is what made the difference between Jehoshaphat and Daniel. Now, what are some of the positive character traits in Jehoshaphat? First of all, his integrity. In 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 43, it says, he walked in all the way of Asa, his father. He did not turn aside from doing it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. So he was a person of integrity, because when you're thinking about Asa, you find that he was wholly devoted. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 11 to 15, speaking about Asa, how he started well, it says, Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. He also put away the male cults, prostitutes from the land, removed all the idols which his fathers had made. He also removed Maacah, his mother, from being queen mother, because she had made a horrid image as in Asherah. And Asa cut down her horrid image and burned it at the brook Kidron. And this is what Asa did. A young guy who descended the throne, but a person of convictions. However, late in life, Asa quit seeking the Lord. And when there was a war with Israel, instead of seeking God, he sought the help of King of Aram. And as a result, God was angry. He sent a prophet, but he was angry with the prophet and put him in prison. And he also became tough with the people and oppressed the people at that time. So for most part, Asa seems to be a good king. But at the end of his life, he did stray away. But history seems to have remembered him as a good king. And they say Jehoshaphat was just like his father. Now, even when you're thinking about Jehoshaphat's commitment to the Lord, you find in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 6 onwards, when Ammon, Moab, and Edom, all these three guys, you know, these three groups got together to wipe out Judah, this is what we read in 2 Chronicles 20, 6 to 12. He says, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it and have built your sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you. For your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, because they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possessions, which you have given us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a fantastic statement, isn't it? On one side, acknowledging, Lord, we don't know what to do. We are also acknowledging that these guys are very powerful, but our eyes are on you. That was the devotion of Jehoshaphat. He didn't turn to other nations for help, but he put his problem in the heart of God, and he allowed God to deliver him. That's why we learn about Jehoshaphat as a person of integrity, as a person who had his walk with God clear, especially in the initial stages when there were problems. And he accepted there were problems, he accepted his inability, but he trusted in God. That was the affirmation, our eyes are on you. So we need to give him, you know, full credit for that. Secondly, when you look at his intentions were pretty right again when he started out. In 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 46, we read, "The remnant of the Sodomites who remained in the days of his father Asa, he expelled from the land." Remember, Asa had removed all the male cult prostitutes, but apparently some had gone into hiding and maybe a small crowd remained, but Jehoshaphat got rid of them. He was finishing what his father had started to do. Okay. So when you're looking at Jehoshaphat, you know, you see a person of high integrity. You see a person who had the best intentions in the world. But you need to be careful. You know, you may have the best intentions, but if you slip up somewhere and you allow wrong influences to influence your intentions, you go down the slope. Okay. Now, what are some of the good things that Jehoshaphat did? What are some of the good things? In 2 Chronicles 17, we read, "The Lord was with Joseph because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David." Of all the kings of Judah, only three are likened to King David: Hezekiah, Josiah, and Jehoshaphat. Now, so, if David is the standard, okay, and Jehoshaphat can be described as he was similar to David, or he walked in the ways of David, you know, then we can definitely say that, you know, overall, he was a good king. So what are the good things that he did? First of all, as we have noticed, you know, his personal devotion to God. His personal devotion to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3, it says, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. His heart was fixed, his heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah." So this was his personal devotion. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord in his personal life as well as in his reign as king. When there were situations that arose, he came before the Lord and said, "Our eyes are on you." So, definitely a good thing that he did. Secondly, he had godly public education. In other words, he had the Levites and the princes teach the people the book of the law. You know, he says, "Look here, guys, you need to know what the law says, what the book of the law says, or what the scriptures say." In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hiel, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the towns of Judah. With them were certain Levites, and they taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went around to all the towns in Judah and taught the people." Now, not only had his own relationship with God clear, he knew that it is the scriptures that are so very important. That is the right foundation. So he made sure that he appointed these individuals who would go around the towns of Judah and teach the people the law of God. So very important even today. You know, so when you're thinking of education, yes, there is the secular education that is there, but much more important, our foundation must be in the education of God's Word. Thirdly, there was a God-blessed economic growth. The Lord blessed him with a strong economy because of his heart for God and what he did for God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. He built forts and store cities in Judah and had large supplies in the towns of Judah. He also kept experienced fighting men in Jerusalem." God blessed his efforts. Heart was in the right place, did the right thing. Result was the blessing of God. Fourthly, he had a strong military. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we read about the different leadership that he put into place from different families. He appointed strong leaders who would be able to defend the nation. Fifthly, In 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 4, we read, Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and turned them back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. He turned them back. You know. So yes, his heart was right. He did the right thing. He emphasized the study of God's word. He appointed all these people and he also was instrumental in a nationwide revival. Good things that he did. Sixthly, there was a God-fearing judiciary. He set judges in the land who ruled in the fear of God. Who ruled in the fear of God. 2 Chronicles 19 verse 5 says, he appointed judges in the land in each of the fortified cities of Judah. He told them, consider carefully what you do. Because you are not judging for mere mortals, but for the Lord who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. I wonder if you were living in the land at that time, whether you'd have been happy with the judiciary. Because he says here, yeah, this is what the requirement was. Judge with the fear of God. Because God is the final judge. So he said judges who had that fear. Seventhly, there was a divine protection. The fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms surrounding Judah. Okay. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 10, we read, the fear of the Lord fell on the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah, so that they did not go to war against Jehoshaphat. They were so afraid of Jehoshaphat because the God of Judah was with them. You know, so that was a protection. That was a declaration of, you know, hey, look here, there's something different about Jehoshaphat. You better not, you know, tamper with him or play with him. Number eight, there was a victory in war. There was victory in war. If you notice 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 onwards, is a passage with which we are familiar, where when he faced the enemy, in verse 21 it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went around singing, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. And when they got up, they set ambushes. And verse 24 says, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies, because the praises had got God involved, and the Ammonites and Moabites, you know, they began slaughtering themselves as it were. Okay, so they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, no one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, you know, more than they could take away. Trusting in God seems to have been a key positive trait of Jehoshaphat. Yes, things were tough, but he said, Lord, our eyes are up to you. Yes, things are tough. We will praise you, Lord, because you are in charge. And when praise went up into the heavens, you know, the Lord began to work, acknowledging his sovereign authority. He took charge. You know, and when the Lord takes charge, there is always victory. But what are some of the negative character traits in Jehoshaphat? First of all, he was influenced by a crowd. We read in 2 Chronicles that, you know, Jehoshaphat had removed the high places. Okay, but in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 43, we read, however, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. So one passage says that he removed it. The other passage says, you know, they were not taken away. What can this mean? It means basically that, you know, he did remove it, but they came back. You know, he did stop the worship of false gods on the high places, but the people still continue to worship at these sites. In other words, you know, he allowed what people wanted. Now, he could have stepped in here and said, hey, look here, this is what God's word says. You should not have this here. But he did the removal when the people wanted it and they got back to it. You know, he did not say anything to it. This seems to have been his weakness in compromising or allowing people to influence him. So he allowed the crowds to influence him. And we have to be careful. Yes, there is peer pressure at any age group. So we should not allow people to influence our decisions. We should not allow public opinion to influence our decisions. We should not be men pleasers, but rather we should be God pleasers. So that seems to have been his first negative trait. Secondly, he was easily influenced by Ahab. Now, first he allowed normal people to influence him. Now he's influenced by the king Ahab himself. Verse 44 says, Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. And 2 Chronicles 18 verse 1 says, now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself with by marriage with Ahab. Now look at both the sides of that. He had great riches and honor. God has given it to him. He should be happy with that, isn't it? But now he wants more. So he says, okay, you know, how can I be friends with this guy who's a powerful king? You know, he says, okay, I will give my son in marriage. That's how they sealed deals over there in those days, you know. But he should not have done that. It was this alliance that when they got into battle, it nearly got him killed. But God was gracious. So when Jehoshaphat got home after this incident in 2 Chronicles 19, verses 1 onwards, we read, then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring wrath on yourself? But there is still good in you. You have set your heart to seek God. The prophet says, hey, you have done wrong in this area. Yes, you have done good, but in this area, you have done wrong. God was angry with Jehoshaphat for walking with the wicked, And this is something we must also take care. Don't allow crowd to influence you. Do not also allow some, you know, influential person to influence you. Oftentimes we look for people, oh, this guy is a big shot, this guy is an influential guy. If I'm in good books with him, things will be good for me. You know, that's what Jehoshaphat thought. But God said, hey, you should not have done that. Am I not much more powerful than the biggest big shot in town? Thirdly, he was influenced by Ahaziah. Ahaziah was the son of Ahab. Okay. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 35 onwards, we read, after this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. He acted wickedly in doing so. So he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships to in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavahu of Maresha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works. So the ships were broken and could not go to Tarshish. He should have learned his lesson when, you know, he messed up with Ahab. He got away with his very life. But now, when it comes to his son, he allies himself with his son. And he says, okay, let's be friends. I'll make ships for you. I will give it to you. But the Lord again stepped in over there, made sure that the ships were broken. Okay, so on one occasion it nearly got him killed. On another occasion it cost him financially. On both occasions it made the Lord angry. So what are some of the wrong things that he did, which you have seen so far? First of all, the marriage of his son Jehoram with Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab. Secondly, the war that he had when he entered to please Ahab, which nearly cost him his life. And thirdly, the joining of Ahaziah, Ahab's successor, in making a fleet to go to Tarshish. Now, what are the lessons that we can learn from this? Yes, he was a good guy overall, but he messed up because he gave in. Little here, little there. He allowed other things to influence him. So what are the lessons that we can learn? Number one, first of all, the king shows us that we can all make mistakes of judgment. Scripture teaches us to exercise discernment, especially with those in whom we place our trust. Jehoshaphat made a bad alliance with King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. Although he didn't die from this friendship, he made a massive mistake by trusting the wrong person. Who are you putting your trust in? You know, are you putting your trust in any person because he's an influential person? If I'm good friends with him, it will be good for me here on earth. I'll be able to get a better position or whatever. God says, hey, don't make such mistakes. Don't look at influential people to pull you up, you know, but rather look at God to pull you up. Secondly, Jehoshaphat teaches us the importance of breaking the familial cycle of mistakes. Although Asa didn't worship the idols placed throughout Judah, he didn't do a lot to tear them down. Jehoshaphat started the process, okay? He started the process by destroying the idols, but he still kept some of the altars. And as a result, the cycle was not broken. Yes, there are cycles that come right through, but somewhere along the line, those cycles have to be broken. You find Abraham lied, his son Isaac lied, his son Jacob lied. So we need to be careful about our, you know, family traits that we are not passing them on. Don't blame your parents, don't blame your generations for that. But on the other hand, also recognize you have a responsibility to break any of these cycles that are already there. Yes, you may say it's in my genes, that's my temperament, but God asks you to break those cycles. Thirdly, the voices we listen to today determine our ability to follow God tomorrow. The voices that we listen to today. Jehoshaphat listened to Ahab. Jehoshaphat listened to the people, okay, instead of putting his trust in God. Yes, in the beginning he did listen to the voice of God. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will endure. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. But that unfortunately is not the end of the story. You know, he started out saying, put your trust in God. But later on he said, hey, put your trust in Ahab. Put your trust in the son of Ahab as well. And as a result, God said, hey, you are putting your trust in the wrong people. Now, after the wreck of the fleet, you know, that was supposed to have gone to Tarshish, you know, when God sent the prophet to tell him, somewhere along the line, there seems to have been a change of heart. So that's why the next time when he asks him to join him, he refuses. He refuses. He says, no, I'm not going to join you. Okay. So these lessons, he seemed to have learned the hard way. Sometimes he repeats those lessons also. Yes, it's important for us to learn from our mistakes, learn from the mistakes of others as well. But it is much more important also that we don't repeat the same mistakes. How can we make sure that we don't repeat the same mistakes? Proverbs 13:20 says, one who walks with wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. In other words, who are you walking with? Who is your influencer? Today we have so many people who call themselves motivators, influencers, and they have so much of reels and medias and all that is being bombarded all around us. Are they influencing you? Are they influencing you to say, hey, you have this power, you push yourself up, you do this, you do that, you will come up. And people are constantly watching these influences. There's a lot of money in that for them. But is that what God wants us to do? Is that what who should be influencing us? And our influencer should be God himself, isn't it? What if Jehoshaphat had not made an alliance with Ahab? What if he had not given his son in marriage to Ahab's daughter? What if Jehoshaphat had kept God's commands and had not only destroyed the Asherah poles but torn down all the high places of false worship? Would his children have followed God too? We don't really know, but we know that partnering with Ahab, Jehoshaphat actually set his children up to fail. We must be careful, who are we allowing our children to be friends with, who are we allowing them to be influenced by, and definitely anything from the world, anything that we are setting them up apart from God's word, And we are saying, hey, look here, your studies are important, your work is important, you know, and your relationship with God goes for a toss. You know, be careful, because Jehoshaphat, for him, his position was so much more important. Even though God had blessed him, so he made friends with Ahab and gave his son even in marriage. And that really messed up his life and also the generations to come. That's what we learn, the fourth lesson. The choices we make today affect our future. Not just our future, but our children and our grandchildren's future as well. That's why 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be mismatched with unbelievers. But what do righteousness and lawlessness share together? What does light have in common with darkness? Especially when it comes to marriage, we say don't be unequally yoked. But even in other matters, we must make sure that we don't partner with someone who is not a Christian. Not just not a Christian, who is also on the same wavelength and commitment that you have with the Lord. Otherwise, it's always easy to pull down a person rather than to pull up a person. So many people have entered into marriages saying that I will change that person. But you can't change anybody. They are the ones who change you. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns us, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We should not think that we are immune to other people's bad behavior. Over a period of time, you may find yourself slowly slipping down the slide of immorality. Because it's really easy to become desensitized to sin. Final lesson though is when we repent of our sin, God gives us a new start. Every time Jehoshaphat repented, the Lord had mercy on him, because God is faithful to forgive us when we cry out to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. So we must learn to make sure that our trust is only in the Lord alone. We must be careful that we don't allow anything else to influence us. Look at the scriptures. Look how Lot was influenced by the people of Sodom. Look at how Samson was influenced by Delilah. Look at how Solomon was influenced by his foreign wives. Look at how Aaron was influenced to make a golden calf. And look at how the children of Israel were influenced by their grumbling rabble that they constantly had when they were walking through the wilderness. And throughout the course of history, Satan has no shortage of false prophets and false teachers who are out to influence the people today. Jehoshaphat was a good man, but he lacked the conviction to stand against the peer pressure, and that was his downfall. It ruined him. So don't allow yourself to be swayed by the wicked. Make sure, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:9-10, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I do not at all mean with all the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you will have to go out of this world. What he is basically saying is be careful how you associate. He's not saying live the life of monastic, cut yourself up. No, you're in the world, but be careful of how you are going to live. You have the responsibility to be the light in the midst of darkness. But in order to do that, we must make sure that you recognize the darkness. If you say darkness is light, you've already got into the darkness. So make sure, first of all, you recognize what is wrong in the world, accept that this is dark, and allow the light to influence the darkness rather than the darkness to influence you. So if evil can be avoided, then avoid it totally. Far away, stay far away, like Joseph ran away, avoid it. But if it cannot be, then stand against it, be a person of conviction. That's what Ephesians tells us, isn't it? Chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, and after you have done all this, stand firm. That's the important lesson that we learn from Jehoshaphat. Constant lessons that teach us, beginnings are good, but let's make sure our endings are better, if you were to say, not worse. Let's be individuals who will put our trust in God and God alone right through our lives. Let our lives not be influenced by anything of the world, of anything of the people, or anything of the position, or anything that we are seeking for, but let us seek only His face. As Joseph had started out by saying, Lord, we seek Your face. Let that be our cry all the time. Then we can be sure that we can say at the end of our lives, you know, the Lord will look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads in prayer together.